vision.
Part of the community.
The next idea.
Getting cities right will be very, very important, not just for the recovery, but for the long-term sustained growth.
The next idea is the media partner for Detroit Future Cities Ideas for Innovation series. We continue the conversations that come from these community events. The third event was all about strengthening Detroit's neighborhoods. It's truly one of the core challenges in Detroit's revival. Victoria Olivier is Deputy Director of Neighborhoods for Detroit Future City. Welcome, Victoria.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
And Joshua Elling is Executive Director of Jefferson East, Inc. This group focuses on community and economic development in Detroit's East Jefferson Corridor. And Josh, you wrote the essay for us. Before we dig into that, describe your neighborhood for us. Where is it and what makes up the East Jefferson Corridor?
Well, you know, the East Jefferson Corridor stretches along East Jefferson Avenue from downtown Detroit out to the Grosse Pointe Park border. And it's a really unique mix of neighborhoods ranging from Indian Village, West Village, and the Village's neighborhood, down to Jefferson Chalmers with its canal front homes, and of course Rivertown and Lafayette Park. But it's also dispersed with some of the broadest areas of sort of abandonment in the entire city of Detroit, punctuated by these sort of more vital pockets of density and development. And our goal is, how do we link these neighborhoods? How do we support these neighborhoods? And how do we make them regionally competitive so they can attract residents from across the city and also across the region and actually from around the country?
And how have things changed over the last few years in your neighborhood? Would you say that you have felt some of the city's resurgence?
We really have, and it's actually been quite amazing. When I first started back in 2007, it was auto bankruptcy, then city bankruptcy, and it was a very challenging time. Now what we're really starting to see is sort of that development from downtown spread throughout the corridor, new growth, especially in Rivertown with the McCormick Barron development. West Village has just exploded, housing prices pushing $300,000, new retail on Agnes Street and along Kercheval. And then Jefferson Chalmers, the farthest of our neighborhoods abutting Grosse Pointe Park, has also seen an influx of new residents looking for the quality housing stock that you can't find anywhere else in the region. At the same time, though, we still do have the challenges of some large blighted commercial buildings, neighborhood commercial centers that are underutilized, and also the broad expanse of East Jefferson Avenue that is a deterrent to both pedestrian mobility, bike mobility, and prevent people from getting across it to enjoy the revitalized Detroit riverfront.
And Victoria Olivier, as you go around to neighborhoods all through Detroit and you talk to people, to neighbors, to community leaders, what are you seeing and hearing in terms of changes over the last few years?
We've seen residents really come together and just start trying things. There is more, I think, acceptance and funding for these interventions that do make active and quick changes in neighborhoods. From Detroit Future City, we're a little over the planning phase. And while at Detroit Future City, we don't necessarily think all the planning is complete, we definitely recognize and embrace the we want action and how can we provide tools and help neighborhood leaders really get there.
It kind of sounds like you're saying people kind of realized you can't wait for the city or someone out there to do it. Got to do it ourselves.
And you're also seeing the city come along in the recent Duggan administration. But definitely, residents have been doing it on their own for a long time, and you're continuing to see that build momentum. So through this event, as we not only had Gil Pignolosa as our keynote inspirational speaker, but we made sure to really connect it back to action, because we hear over and over how, as much as, you know, residents are doing great things, they're still interested in finding new and creative resources for how to do more of these projects and how to make their neighborhood more livable and improve quality of life. And also connecting that to safe routes to schools and how can we get residents together to conduct an audit of their neighborhood? And also, how can residents continue to be successful at animating their public spaces?
Josh, in your essay for the next idea, you focus on improving mobility in Detroit's neighborhoods, certainly in your East Jefferson corridor. What do you mean by mobility exactly?
Well, there's several levels of this. I mean, one of the challenges we face here in metropolitan Detroit and Detroit particular is simply a challenge of geography and where the jobs are and where the people are. Detroit has one of the highest sort of spatial segregation in terms of residents from jobs of any other metropolitan area in the country. Detroit Future City kind of pointed this out, where the vast majority of people that live in the city work out of the city. And the vast majority of jobs in the city are held by people that live outside the city. So there's an intense need to get people from the city to job centers. But on top of that, it's getting people around their neighborhood, getting them the last mile from, say, the bus stop down to their home, getting them to view major thoroughfares like East Jefferson Avenue, not just as a freeway for cars, but as a place that people can mix and mingle, support commerce, and just have a fundamentally safer environment for both pedestrians, bicyclists, and honestly, auto drivers. But the key thing is here is how do we link people to opportunity while at the same time create the sort of environment that makes these neighborhoods a place that people want to go to. And I think about changes that have been made over the years throughout the region that have done things like road diets, have done traffic calming. You know, if people that may remember Ferndale, when 9 Mile used to be 4 lanes wide, they took it down to 2 lanes, sort of spurred a boom there in terms of walkability. And even that we've seen on our first phase of our streetscape in Jefferson Chalmers, or put in some islands, put in protected bike lanes, it's had a dramatic impact on slowing traffic and making that area just much more walkable and enjoyable.
In fact, it's interesting because our first contributor for this partnership with Detroit Future City also wrote about making her neighborhood, the Airport District, more walkable and bikeable. Mm-hmm. Victoria, there's clearly a strong desire across the neighborhoods of Detroit for more pedestrian amenities, if you will. What do you think needs to happen from a planning point of view to help this along throughout the city?
Right. And while Detroit Future City looks at the entire city with a strategic framework vision, that as we can pull our communities together and really make priorities known to decision makers through the planning process, one thing Gil Pignolosa talked about was that it's not about how much money your city has, but it's how you prioritize your quality of life. And as a community, you need to get together and talk about what's nice to have and what you must have. And I think Gil did a great job of prioritizing mobility as something that isn't just, you know, elective. That's what they have in the nicer neighborhoods, or that's what they have in the more dense neighborhoods. And really showing about how that leads to economic opportunity, to how it leads to getting our kids to schools in a safe manner and building community solidarity and leading to safety. So we can pull those themes together through a community planning process and looking at land use and all of the factors that go into it.
Josh, you mentioned the protected bike lanes, and we know later this year, hopefully the first one in the whole state of Michigan will be operational in your neighborhood. Only a third of a mile, but you know, it has to start somewhere. Where do you want to see it go? What are your hopes?
So we're so thrilled a little bit later here in the month, they'll start the repaving and the first third of a mile of protected bike lanes will go in. That'll give Detroiters and people from the state a chance to come there and see how it works. And it's been wildly successful in places like Minneapolis, Chicago, Seattle, Washington, D.C., Atlanta. And so we're happy to bring it here as a pilot. But you need to build a network of these protected bike lanes to allow people to, you know, get from point A to B safely. And it's not just about bike mobility. It's about safety. And Detroit, unfortunately, suffers the highest level of pedestrian fatalities of any city over 500,000. And it's partly because our streets are so wide, the speeds are so high on the street, and there are so few crossings for pedestrians. Protected bike lanes are a way to calm the street by narrowing the amount of asphalt and reducing the speed, so it plays that role. But we need to have a substantive conversation in the city, and I'm very excited because with the new planning director the city has hired and the Duggan administration, they're really looking at how can we use comprehensive planning to revitalize these neighborhoods, to put investments in them that are going to support both long-term residents but also work to attract new residents to foster population growth. But we need to look at how we build this protected bike network out. How do we get the protected bike lane down to Grand Boulevard as the next phase so it links with the Riverwalk and Belle Isle, and then look at how you could carry it into downtown? And there's some innovative things we can do with paint and bollards on even a temporary basis while we think about broader interfaces with transit so people can see this. It's going to be how we make it work for all Detroit residents and how we get it to all neighborhoods to make them regionally competitive and safe.
Victoria, as you spoke with people at that third Ideas for Innovation event and in your conversations with people all around the city, what other ideas are rising up to the top and really strike your interest?
There's so many. One thing that I think really plays into this conversation is this idea of connectivity. We've seen some creative ideas come out around our borders and how we have perceived boundaries in our neighborhoods that are really dividing us. We don't want to have islands of prosperity in the city. We want to connect either through bikeways or the beltway that's being looked at. And so how can we start connecting neighborhoods to have a stronger voice, really, as we're going through revitalization? You know, traditionally, your identity is one neighborhood, and you might not collaborate with another neighborhood.
Victoria Olivier is the Deputy Director of Neighborhoods for Detroit Future City, and Joshua Elling is Executive Director of Jefferson East, Inc., and you can find his essay on the Next Idea page at michiganradio.org. As always, we're glad to get your comments there or on Facebook or on Twitter. Victoria, Joshua, it was great to talk with you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Support for the Next Idea on Stateside comes from Michigan Economic Development Corporation, committed to marketing Michigan to drive job growth and investment in our communities. MichiganBusiness.org.